Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, talk. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Oh, what a privilege and a pleasure it is to be with you. I was just talking to my friend and producer, Doug, who runs this show. He runs the show. He is so great. I have to tell you, I'm just having such a good time. I say, you know, I just hope that anybody doesn't find out what a great time I'm having, because they'll make it illegal, I'm sure. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1, and I'm your host, Karen Cataline. I've been doing lots and lots of AM talk all over the place, and someone called me last week and said, I'm going to be able to say I knew you when. You're going to be such a star. You're going to be a celebrity, and it just flew out of my mouth without thinking. I don't want to be a star. I just want to talk on the radio. That's all I want to do. I just, you give me a chance to talk on the radio, I'm going to be happy. Anyway, maybe I'm giddy today because this, ladies and gentlemen, is our 40th show. Can you believe that? 40 shows after we finish this one will be in the can. And if you want to listen to any of the shows, they go up on my website. Usually takes about 48 hours, like in about 2 days. And there's a little blurb there so you can decide who and which show you might like to listen to, unless you want to binge listen, in which case you can listen to 40 hours of radio, in which case you'll get a BS in spouting off. Anyway, it's Tuesday, July 10th. 2018, and that's when we are broadcasting this show live. You should know that this show goes all kinds of wonderful places thanks to BBS Radio, which I love, and you just never know when this station, when this show is going to find its way into your ear. That said, I want to invite you. Sometimes I give this short shrift because I'm never really sure who's listening out there or, you know, what you want to talk about. I have something very important I want to introduce and I want to talk about. It'll probably take me through to our break, which is going to be about the bottom of the hour, in which I will have a pleasure. It'll be such a great pleasure to have back with us personal friend, brilliant scientist, not a wuss in any way, Dr. Martina Cartwright, who you've heard on this program quite a bit. She did the Martina Minute, and she has an open invitation to do that anytime she wants. But what's really fun is when she and I get together and start waxing philosophic about God knows what. So Martina will be with us in the second half of the hour. And of course, I would love it if you would consider giving me a call this time around. Sometimes I just get going and I go ranting and raving and, oh, you know, spouting off. And so I forget sometimes to give you the number. But if you're listening live, you have all the opportunity in the world to call me at toll-free. It is 888-627-6008. Or you can call direct, because nowadays it's all the same, 323-744-4831. So before I get into the major announcement here, Donald Trump had a major announcement of his own last night, and he chose to appoint Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, to the United States Supreme Court, or what we like to say around here, SCOTUS. That's what it's called on Twitter and other places, the SCOTUS. Now, I haven't done an enormous amount of research on Brett Kavanaugh, and I didn't have to, because I knew that the left was prepared to call him a racist, a bigot, a homophobe, and probably any other name in the book before he was ever even appointed. That's where the left is today. They are ready to go bananas before they've even heard the facts or the information. They don't care about facts. They most certainly don't care about information. So I watched a little tiny bit of the protests going on. They were well prepared and well, excuse me, well planned. And so there was a lot of that going on. As a matter of fact, a Fox News host said that she almost never felt unsafe when she was down in the crowd, but she was feeling unsafe that day when she was reporting on the nomination of the next Supreme Court justice. And while it is tremendously sad that it's all come to this, I can't help being optimistic. Now you're going to say, what is she talking about? Well, I am tremendously optimistic, not only with Donald J. Trump in the White House and what he's doing to reverse the march towards tyranny that we were watching with the last president, but this is who some of these people, not all, but a good many of them, and the people that are really controlling the Democrat Party, this is who they always were. We knew that. If you are a watcher in any way, then you would know that this is who they are. This is what they stand for. You know, screaming and yelling, rioting and carrying on, but shutting you up. You know that very famous line, I don't agree with what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. They don't agree with that. No one ever taught it to them, or if they did, they don't agree. They believe you don't have a right to go into a restaurant if you either voted for Trump or if you worked for Trump or if you agree with Trump. They just don't believe that. That there's nothing American about that in any way. It's just not American. And just to be clear, they don't like America. They don't. I don't have this thing in front of me because I got a stack of stuff the size you wouldn't believe. But 49%, I believe, and don't quote me on the exact number, of Democrats pretty much hate this country. I mean, like, get your brain around that. They hate this country. So if they hate this country, why should we listen to the policies they're trying to put forth if they have such hatred that those policies, and I happen to believe they would wreck and destroy this country, right? So whether they think those policies would improve the country, and I don't think so. I don't think many of them, except the very, very core in the middle, have given it some thought. All they know is that they want to tear down and wreck and destroy everything that is American and that is American culture. And if we know their motive, and that's what's so fascinating, Donald Trump has driven them to tell the truth about themselves. You know that old show, To Tell the Truth? Well, the Democrats are finally telling the truth. So as ugly and awful as it is to watch, this is who these people always were. And the best way to fight back is to shine a light on them. Shine a light on who these people are. Because if you're the kind of person that wants to or believes that the right thing to do is to harass and bully people in restaurants because you disagree, to call everyone racists, bigots, and homophobes, which unfortunately still works in this country. Why it is, I'll never know. But that you should smear them with every possible ugly name, that people in America, if they voted for Trump, are Nazis. If you believe in following our immigration law, it's like the Holocaust. I mean, they've lost their minds. They say they're losing their minds. No, they've lost it. They've already lost it. But I'm wasting valuable broadcast time by waxing philosophic about this. I still would love to have you call. And Doug, I don't have the right screen up, so you're going to have to whisper in my ear if we do get a call, because right now I'm busy. Okay, so The number, again, I'm just going to give you the toll-free number. It's 888-627-6008. You're welcome to disagree. In fact, I love arguing. Now, I like arguing about really important things, not, you know, whose turn it is to do the laundry. I like arguing about the really, really big stuff, okay? But this leads me to my main event, at least until to the bottom of the hour. Oh, where do I begin? Yes. I have been up in arms about the Me Too movement ever since it began sometime, I don't know, October of last year. Okay, so you had a Harvey Weinstein, and that made news for a while. But then celebrities picked up on it, and they have a lot of sexual assaults and problems in Hollywood. They picked up on it, and they picked up on a hashtag called Me Too. Now, Me Too has become a bandwagon, and it's blossomed into a full-blown, like everything, political propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. And what really bugs me is that Republicans just don't fight back. Or if they do, they fight back against other Republicans. If only they had the zeal that they show when they're fighting against other Republicans and do it against the Democrats. But they just don't do that. You know, they just don't. So let me cut right to the chase, because there's a lot here. And I think we're going to be talking about this a lot in future programs. This is a movement that I came up with. You know, the walk away movement, which has just taken off. I don't really think, and just for those of you who don't know, the walk away movement, how could you not know? You'd be having to live under a rock. The walk away movement was started by a gay hairdresser in New York who started he made his own video, very compelling video, about why he left the Democrat Party, because they've gone off the rails. And that, you know, conferred to the beginning of this program, is just how crazy and whack and wackadoodle they have become. So you don't need a lot of money today to start a political movement if you have a really good idea and if you're making some sense, because obviously the mainstream media, which I would like to stop calling it that, aren't making any sense. They don't make any sense. They basically are a propaganda arm for the Democrat Party. So here we have, it's so interesting, you may know that I reside in Wyoming and Colorado, and a poll was done. It's probably not a huge number of people that they polled, but the Colorado Women's Alliance, which is a wonderful organization, they revealed that they did a study in which only 1% of their respondents and of female swing voters consider sexual harassment to be an important issue for the midterms. So my question is, and this is the question that I posed in a piece that I just had, my second piece for American Thinker. I would encourage you to go to American Thinker. I had a very lonely that blue hashtag link under Karen Cataline. If you go to American Thinker, there used to be only one, because I only wrote one piece for them. It was called Will Me Too Affect the Midterms? And I came up with a hashtag at the end. I was throwing it out kind of tongue in cheek. I thought it was kind of cute, but I didn't think it was going to fly. Hashtag yes, Tosterone. You know, because I think this movement is partly designed to advance the same agenda the left has had for some decades. It's not the only thing that they're doing, to emasculate men, to basically just destroy straight men. Black, white, doesn't matter, but especially straight men. They don't like straight men, especially straight white men, especially straight white Christian men. They just don't like them. So my question is, should we bother to put together a counter movement if so few women care? Only 1%. And the left has been beating this drum for the longest time. I encourage you to read my first piece about how, since they didn't have any control of either the U.S. House or the U.S. Senate, and certainly not the executive branch, they decided to set their sights on state legislatures all around the country. 18 of them. have been hit with, and Democrats and Republicans alike, with accusations and calls for resignations. You should look this up. It's quite amazing. In fact, I think I'll put it up on my website, the study that I found about this. And it's stunning. They basically want to change the makeup of state legislatures without that pesky little problem of having to stand for election first. And this is what Democrats do. This is what the liberals do. They know better than you, and they're going to decide who should represent you because, dirty little secret, they ain't representing you. Okay? So the reason that I think it's so important to fight back against this movement, because if 99% of respondents, after all the zeal that the left has put forth, are still not considering sexual harassment to be any big deal, that's 99% of women that agree with us. Now, before I get too far down the road, I got to tell you that as a social worker, I have a very checkered past. And one of the things is I have a master's degree in social work from Columbia University. I'm as rare as hen's teeth, female, social worker, Jewish, used to be an actress, conservative, go figure. But anyway, as a social worker, I couldn't possibly not think, and I do think, that rape and sexual assault are extremely serious crimes. But in one of the bullet points that I make for our case, they're made so trivial by lumping them together with an awkward proposition or a boorish comment. It's like, now everybody's a sexual harasser. If you're male, you're a sexual harasser. You're a predator. You're a sexual predator. You're mean, terrible, and anything we do to you, including taking away your livelihood, your reputation, is just A-OK. Well, I couldn't let this stand. And to me, this movement that I'm about to introduce to you, so I better get to it already, is just one example of something we can do to start fighting back against this cultural war that the left has been waging on all of us. Everything that's good about this country, they hate. And they just admitted they do hate the country, right? So why should we try so hard to be liked by people that hate us and hate the country? I mean, this is not rocket science here, is it? This is pretty much what you take advice and try to be liked by someone who hated your guts? No. And by the way, just as another aside, because my asides have asides, you see, I lost it. What's most dangerous, yes, I remember, what's most dangerous is when they start lying again. That's when you're really going to have to be aware and conscious, because people don't change their stripes. But unfortunately, the political mind is very, very short-lived. People don't think, they don't have long memories. And I don't think we're in any danger anytime soon of the left finally realizing that what they're doing is not working and it's helping Trump. So I'm not worried yet that they're going to start sounding reasonable. But when they do, that's when you're really going to have to worry, because their sentiments, their opinions, none of that has changed. Kind of like Mel Gibson when he got drunk and he started saying all these Jew hatred things, and he apologized profusely. And all I could think was, that's when people tell the truth, when they're drunk. And then suddenly he's all okay again in a Hollywood that is very, very Jewish, but also profoundly liberal, which makes it self-hating. And that's true. It very self-hating. The more liberal a Jew is, the more self-hating they seem to be. But I digress. So we need a new hashtag to fight back against the Me Too movement, because after all, Republican women, and it's going to have to be conservative women who do this, they've going to have to stand up, because even conservative men are completely unable to be convincing in this subject matter. It just isn't. And the conservative women have just said, oh, that's ridiculous, and they move on. But we need to rally conservative women more than ever before. Because number one, we, and I'm lumping myself together as a conservative woman. I am, but I don't like all that identity politics. That's why I'm not a liberal. Women, we're not the type that dresses up in pink costumes designed to look like body parts. We don't rant and yell and scream and carry on and say that we want to blow up the White House. It's just not our way. I mean, we were every bit probably more incensed by the previous president, but you didn't see any of that. You just didn't see it. It's not how we roll. So we need a new hashtag, because it's the hashtag that could go viral, that could give people an opportunity to really tell their story, state their opinion. And now this movement, I'm happy to tell you, after the last 48 hours, has a Twitter handle, a Twitter account, and also has a Facebook page. If you are jazzed about this idea, and I know I didn't say it yet, and you have technical expertise and you would like to help this movement, that's what we need. I need someone 30 years younger who it doesn't take, you know, 5 hours to do something that takes me 5 hours. All right. So the hashtag is We Aren't Victims. That stands for WAV. We aren't victims. Also, the hashtag is WAVE or WAVES. We aren't victims. So this is how I came up with this. And it was, you know, I just felt like it was the right thing to do. In World War II, the WAVES were called upon by the Navy. That's women. Called upon by the Navy to help in the war effort. Now, oddly enough, WAVES stood for Women Accepted for Volunteer Emergency Service. Is that not a beautiful thing? So women are accepted for voluntary emergency service. Well, that was World War II. That was, you know, we're facing, you know, nothing short of the end of the world. Today, we have a cultural emergency, and it's conservative women who are urgently needed to take the lead. It's conservative women who are going to have to be the adults in the room. Here's another couple of applications. It's a blue wave, not a new wave. This blue wave stuff was wishful thinking, but we'll see. Here's another one. Wave if you're not a victim. Now, there are other hashtags out there. The guy who came up with Walk Away, his name is Brandon Straka, and he's on suddenly all kinds of television and everything. See, I was telling a friend yesterday, I don't want to be a star. I just want to talk on the radio. I think I said that already. All right. So, in my opinion, the more the merrier. Now, some of these hashtags might sound alike, but the great thing is they are targeted to certain populations, because that's how the left plays. And they can be combined and play off of each other, or they can stand alone. It's all okay. Now, this is our goal. It's to reach as many conservative women as possible using public speaking, social media, and video, and then to urge them to reach all the rest. And that means women of all stripes, everyday women, and men, because this helps men in particular. It helps us all to have adults in control. You know, when the children are in control of the playground, it's a problem. Now, here are the messages of our new movement, and I urge you, encourage you to go to the Facebook page or the Twitter handle and start tweeting out this hashtag, We Aren't Victims. Hashtag We Aren't Victims. And if you want to use WAVE or WAVES, that's okay too. Go for it. Now, here's our message. So just so you know what the message is. First, we don't want to be characterized as victims. You know, people who have been raped and assaulted, they are victims. But what do we tell people in therapy to thrive past it by healing? Now we have just another voting block, another group that the left is trying to co-opt for votes. That's a lot of what this is about. In fact, this is what most of it is about, because the left never survives with self-sufficient, self-reliant people. That's why they hate white men, because white men, and I wrote this in my first piece, they're very, in their, the male nature at its very best, And sure, all of us can have times when we are not at our best, men and women alike. But the nature of men, when they are at their very best, is competition, which the left hates, self-reliance, which the left hates, taking care of one's family, the left hates that, the resilience to get up when you're pushed down, to keep improving, to not have a problem hearing no, to be a decent loser so you can learn from your mistakes and then get better. These are male nature qualities. They are. And this is exactly what the left hates. As long as a man is gay, transvestite, or pathetic, like a pajama boy, they're okay with men like that because they want to emasculate any man who professes. And I'm talking about strategy here. I'm not talking about broad generalizations of specific people. I'm talking about the strategy of the left. Stay with me here because I'm not one of those people that likes to make broad generalizations about anyone and everything based on something superficial, like, oh, you're a Democrat, you must be a man hater. Well, no, but that's the policy that you are supporting. I digress. We welcome the kind of accountability that comes from with the privilege of adulthood, right? It's only adults that can be held accountable, and that's a good thing. We should welcome it, not be afraid of it. And I could talk an hour about that. We don't expect to be believed or garner votes simply because we're women. If we have two X chromosomes, that doesn't mean we get to accuse people of things they didn't do. We get to scream, yell, and carry on and do anything and get a pass. All right? We do, and this bears repeating, we do believe that rape and sexual assault are serious crimes. They're made trivial by lumping them together with awkward propositions or boorish comments. And I did say that before, but it's important because people would say, well, if you're against the Me Too movement, you're against rape and assault. Oh, nothing could be more ridiculous. No, in fact, the people that are pushing that if a guy looks at you the wrong way, or if he tells you you look nice at work in a skirt, that's as bad as being raped. And my very first show, apropos of the fact that this is my 40th show, my very first show, I talked about how the left is brilliant at expanding these terms until pretty soon you're a racist merely for being white. You don't even have to say anything racist. You don't have to be a racist. And anybody who would call someone racist and an ugly name, which it is, because they're white, is a racist. Hello? That's what racism is, making broad generalizations about other people. We have got to fight back against this kind of cultural assaults. I mean, I remember when Martin Luther King was talking about, I don't know if it was him directly, talking about a colorblind society. The left has pushed a more color-conscious society of anybody that I've ever seen. Another one, we're almost done. We support due process in every case and on its own merits. We don't believe that Bill Cosby is the same, the Bill Cosby case is the same as, I don't know, somebody who made an awkward pass, or as has happened in legislatures around the country. I'm going to be interviewing two of them, count them two, on AM Talk Radio next week, 600 KCOL. I'm filling in for the great Jimmy Lakey, 6 to 10. On Wednesday and Thursday of next week. And I will have the pleasure of speaking to two different legislators who were expelled, I tell you, expelled from the state legislature, one of them in Colorado and one of them in Arizona. What were they expelled for? Sexual harassment. Did they care whether there was due process or whether there was any truth to any of those accusations? No. In fact, the more we watched, the more we knew there probably wasn't any truth to those accusations. But they had an agenda, and it was to get that person out so they could install someone who is more to their liking. That's called fascism, or worse. It's called tyranny. That's what that's called. And the last thing is, we love strong men. And this is more important. This is just as important as anything. The left has gone about trying to emasculate men for decades. We were told Alan Alda was a much better choice than Tom Selleck. And the truth is, women like Tom Selleck. Now, in World War II era, 1939, actually, which is right in the heart of it, Gone with the Wind, the two prototypes were Ashley Wilkes and Rhett Butler. Now, in those days, it wasn't hard to pick who was a bigger turn-on for women. It certainly wasn't Ashley Wilkes, all right? But today, the left would have you believe that Ashley Wilkes was far superior to, I was going to say Rhett Butler, but Clark Gable. Oh, what a hunk. All right, so our president is teaching us a masterclass on how to fight back against these people. This is why he's so effective. He doesn't care what they think. He just doesn't care. He's going to do what he's going to do, and he gains the respect of people every day. I think that the Supreme Court pick was spectacular. And we'll be learning more about that in the weeks to come. So if you want to join the movement, if you want to help with the hashtag, if you want to help with the technical expertise of which we are in great need, I mean great need, go to either my website, KarenKataline.com, or use the hashtag, We Aren't Victims. Or you can go to the Facebook or anything else. It's all there. We Aren't Victims. When we come back, I am jazzed to talk to my friend, wonderfully smart, educated woman, and just doesn't happen to be a liberal. God love her. Dr. Martina Cartwright, when we come back. This is Karen Kataline. You're listening to BBS Radio, and this is Spouting Off. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Sarah, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on the three branches of government.
There's a lot of confusion these days about the relationship of the three branches of government, especially among many who are in government. Some think the judiciary sits atop the other two branches, the legislative and the executive. Others think the president sits above Congress and the courts. In fact, all three branches are equally accountable to the Constitution and therefore to the people who made the Constitution. The president, members of Congress, and federal judges all take an oath to the Constitution. In making the laws, Congress must adhere to the Constitution. In executing the laws, the president must abide by the Constitution. In interpreting the laws, judges are bound by the Constitution. All the people's representatives are accountable to the Constitution, and therein lies our liberty.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Oh, yay, and we are back. I am delighted to have with us once again, and if you've been listening to Spouting Off, you know that she is no stranger to Spouting Off, Dr. Martina Cartwright. She is an internationally known scientist and speaker. She has a PhD and is president and CEO of Beacon Science Biomedical. So if you want to talk to her about all that science stuff, she's capable, more than capable. And she is on the adjunct faculty. I don't know if she still is. She'll tell us. And a member of the University of Arizona, or she has been. And for more than 20 years, a biomedical researcher in education, infectious diseases. I can't go on because I won't have time to talk to her. Plus, she wrote the foreword to my book, Fat Lash, Food Police, and the Fear of Thin. Welcome, Martina Cartwright, doctor.
Thank you, Karen. It's nice to be back.
We have so much to talk about. But since I was just talking about we aren't victims, the waves, we're going to be pressed into service in this emergency cultural time that we're in. What are your thoughts about we aren't victims? How can we grow this movement? Is there anything we need to say or do, doctor?
Well, you know, in talking with a lot of my female friends who are also small business owners, they are definitely on board because, as a whole, all of us are just getting sick of this mentality that we're all victims and that we agree with all these unhinged protesters. I find them to be an embarrassment to women, and certainly I don't consider myself a victim, and I don't think many of my female friends who own businesses who don't have time to protest find themselves to be victims. So I think a lot of it will be word of mouth and just talking to our friends, just like we're talking here on the radio.
Right, and we got to use that hashtag anytime we can. I love the walk away movement because it occurred to me that we really did need a Facebook page so that we could have people sharing on there, which we have now. We aren't, it's just slash we aren't victims. And I think in one part it has like the WAVE acronym after it, because we want to hear from people about whether they were moved by a bunch of women dressed up as pink vaginas. I mean, is this respect for women? I think not.
Well, and to that point, I was watching Hulu last night, watching some classic 1970s programming, and they show commercials in between, and one of the commercials is very anti-Trump, anti-Pence, and it says something to the effect of women are victimized again, they're going to take away this, that, and the other. And it's like,
oh, geez,
if you are a true feminist, you don't need the government to pay for your birth control or anything else. You should be perfectly capable of doing that.
You know what, Martina? What bugs me is that it's taken us this long as conservatives to even begin to think about mounting a counter to this sort of thing. What bothers me a lot is that Republicans, some of them just want to be liked, but a whole bunch of them, they just think, and for good reason, that this stuff is so ridiculous. How could anybody fall for it? That 30 years ago, we were hearing, I am woman, hear me roar. I date myself. It was 40 years ago, whatever it was. And that they can be Navy SEALs, right? And now we're women who can't even speak up for ourselves. And they expect us to think that that gives them credibility. No, it makes them look really stupid. Okay.
Well, and it makes really it much stupid. More difficult for the rest of us, because I can tell you in the working environment, men are very hesitant, and I think with good reason, to work with some women or to hire women, because they're afraid if I don't look at the woman directly in the eye and speak to her like a robot, she's going to sue me for sexual harassment.
And Martina, they'll get in trouble for that too. He stared at me too long. Can't do that.
No, you can't do that. The rules say it's I believe at what was it, YouTube or one of those other places, if it's more than 5 seconds, it makes them feel uncomfortable. So it's akin to, Mom, he's looking at me.
Now, this is something I have so much always to talk to you about, but I want to unpack this a little bit with you of all people, because as I have been formulating this idea in my head about we aren't victims, and if you're going to start a movement, you're going to put all the labor in it, because it's very labor intensive, you got to have real passion about the subject, and you've got to have something that just drives you on and on about it. And I got to thinking about, of all the people in the world who either should or should not be the one to create a movement like this, it might be a person like me. I wrote a book about how being looked at in a sexual way caused me great, great discomfort, and caused me actually to gain a whole bunch of weight, a whole bunch, right? My book, as you well know, and maybe my listeners don't, because I don't talk about it all that much unless it's relevant, Fat Lash, Food Police, and the Fear of Thin is about my experience in child beauty pageants and also having a stage mother on steroids. Well, one of the things that happened is that as a child, I was looked at in very sexual ways. Well, I didn't really understand that until about my 30s, when I was trying desperately to try and, you know, turn some of this behavior around, a lot of which was unconscious on my part. But never once did I think that a person who was looking at me should be prosecuted for looking at me. What I couldn't figure out was why it affected me so profoundly, and what I needed to do to stop feeling like I was truly being addressed, undressed with other people's eyes. And if you want to read the story, you'll have to buy the book. But what I came to the conclusion of, and it is eminently relevant here, extremely relevant, is that I wasn't protected as a kid. That my mother was the one who sexualized me in ways that a whole generation of girls, sadly, profoundly sad, had been sexualized both in beauty pageants and have been thrust into sexuality before their day. Now, though, and forgive me for my verbosity, but I have to get this out because it's my show and I haven't had enough airtime to truly lay this out in the way that I've wanted to, is that my story showed that the more my mother thrust me into adult sexuality before I was a kid, and she was living through me, and your brilliant analogy that you wrote in the foreword of Princess by Proxy, the more she was the child and I was the adult. And what we have today is a culture in which the left is trying to create something quite similar to my childhood, which was highly dysfunctional, in which adult women act like children, and adult children are thrust into adulthood before their time, which means you have perpetual adults. Your comment, Martina.
I couldn't agree more, and I see that, and I still am affiliated with the university, and very proudly in the College of Agriculture.
Thank you for clarifying that.
A little bit more normality there, but when I'm walking along campus, I see a lot of these, what should be considered adults over the age of 18, acting like they're kids, and they get that a lot from what they've seen in the culture. And to your point, we have adult women acting like kids. They are throwing temper tantrums in the form of these phony protests. They are throwing temper tantrums at everything that Trump does. Instead of looking how he's promoted women, particularly his daughter, who's a very able business person, his ex-wife, and so forth. And I think what you see here is a cultural divide where women who get out there and start businesses and work with men as partners and see themselves as adults, whereas you see the Pocahontas, that's Pocahontas plural.
That's the Pocahontas, plural of Pocahontas.
No offense to Pocahontas, but people like Elizabeth Warren who constantly say, I want to be respected as a woman, but yet game the system in order to get a job on race instead of merit, and screams her head off, you know, in an unhinged fashion. And
she doesn't even get punished for it. She's actually taking a job away from an Indian, and this is what she's supposedly so into, and nobody calls her on it. Nobody says,
I think a lot of the fear,
you're stealing
and
it from
it's
these
ridiculous.
People.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if they heard. What'd you say?
I said that my 3-year-old nephew doesn't throw tantrums as great as some of these women.
Yeah, they should get an Oscar.
they really should.
Okay.
And the signs last night were unbelievable. Those Kavanaugh signs that they had pre-printed. Nicely done.
You've given me exactly the segue I was looking for, dear doctor. You've given me the perfect segue. Because as much as I want to talk about we aren't victims, and I want everybody please to start passing that hashtag around and using it liberally, the spectacle of last night was hilarious, right? A man. Now, everybody saw, a lot of people saw the videos and the sound bites of people being asked if they were for or against his Supreme Court pick. And people were saying how horrible it was 2 days before it actually happened. I mean, is there anybody who really takes these people seriously? But last night was beautiful. And I want you to stay tuned and listen, Martina, as we hear what was going on. Hit it, Doug.
You cursed rat! Look what you've done! I'm melting! Melting! Oh, what a world! What a world! Who would have thought a good little girl like you could destroy my beautiful wickedness? Ah, the boat! The boat! I'm going! Oh,
oh. Oh, she's still crying in the background. Oh! I just love that. You know, I was very scared of that when I was a kid. You know, Wizard of Oz was a pretty scary movie. All those
it
flying monkeys,
scary.
Man. You don't see those at the zoo. You don't.
No, you see
All
them
right.
in Washington.
So, what do you, an adult woman, Dr. Martina Cartwright, think of Donald Trump's pick for the next Supreme Court justice?
You know, I think it was a very measured choice. I'll have to learn more about him. I know that he is very close with the Bush family, which concerns me a little bit. But Trump is one of those individuals as a CEO that interviews a lot of people before he makes a decision, and he's very careful about that. And I respect him for doing that type of process. And as far as now everybody's jumping on the bandwagon, oh, my gosh, he's Catholic. In session,
they did that to JFK, didn't they?
Yeah, I was going to say JFK, Ted Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, and we see how all of that worked out. So I think in this type of position, the left has a real problem with understanding that justices who are like this man Kavanaugh don't legislate from the bench because they know that's not their job. Their job is to interpret the Constitution and apply it as such, whereas they're looking for candidates that want to legislate from the bench.
How unequal another
issue.
Right, sorry. How unequal is it that one side wants to advance their political agenda and the other side actually wants to be bound by the Constitution? There's something, it's hard, you know, to fight that because you've got so much zeal on the other side. I think he's going to win, and I think you do too. And I haven't done a huge amount of study on him yet. I'm not real happy that he has connected with the Bushes. I don't think the Bushes only compromise with Democrats. They don't compromise with Republicans. And so if he thinks, you know, he's going to make friends and influence people by announcing him, but I don't think this is what happened. Donald Trump is one of the shrewdest tacticians I have ever seen. You know, I had the pleasure of interviewing Mona Sharon last week when I filled in for someone on a local AM Denver talk station. I can advertise them. They don't care. And she's a never Trumper, among other things. She's with us on, I think, the We Aren't Victims, although I hadn't quite gotten to that yet. But she just kept saying all the problems with Donald Trump. And I said to her, and probably the only other female Jewish conservative anywhere, Mona Sharon, who's been around for a long, long time. And she was criticizing him. And I said, you know, we could not disagree more because I think Donald Trump is a gift from God. And I think it took her aback that I was saying that. that it took her back. It was she's a gift from God. So I'm not worried. I'm not worried about it, is what I'm telling you.
I'm not worried either. And when I watch him in action, I just love it because he says what's on our minds. He walks that line between being a very wealthy businessman and an amazing CEO and just one of the guys. He's the kind of guy that you could sit with and you get it. He's respectful of people. He understands what's going on, and he says what's on his mind, which is usually how we feel.
And that is the magic of Trump, is that he doesn't talk like a politician, and he's never going to. And the left and establishment Republicans just hate that. Do you realize, Martina, that the language that what we've been talking about, that we actually admire and respect Donald J. Trump, that makes us evil racists? Just by expressing the opinion that we have just expressed, we are now evil.
Yeah,
you feel good about that? I do.
Well, and because we're evil, then they feel that they can harass people in public because they think
exactly.
that they're morally superior. I mean, I just think liberals are stupid. I've said that before, that I have liberal friends, and by all accounts, they're intelligent people on some subjects. But other things, it just defies common sense, and they feel the same way about some of my views. But when it comes down to it, it's a difference in how you choose to live your life and the life choices that you make. And that's where we're also seeing the divide. I view men as partners, not an enemy. I don't view them as evil. And that's the other reason why I will never jump on this Me Too bandwagon. Have I been harassed before? Absolutely. I think every woman has been harassed. But what makes you the difference between a victim is how you manage what has happened. And you don't start screaming, you know, harassment if somebody looks at you for 5 seconds.
Well, and not only that, but it is that word that I've been using a lot, the lack of discernment. I mean, kids don't have that discernment. That's why that affected me so much as a kid, because I was 7, for heaven's sake. I had no discernment. And there were a lot of inappropriate things flying my way, and I was not comfortable with them. But had I had a stronger female role model, who wouldn't have done that in the first place, but also a female role model who would have taught me when I was old enough how to fend off, how to have boundaries from situations, because it's true. The old adage is true. A man will probably go as far as you'll let him. And by the way, who was it that trashed our culture? Who was it that said that women could have sex like men and that it didn't really matter? We could have sex all day long and twice on Shabbos and it was all right. Actually, what's really funny is it's an extra blessing to have sex on Shabbos if you're having it with your husband or your wife. But I digress. So they're the ones who trashed our culture. Now they're telling us that we all have to go back and play nuns and hothouse flowers. I mean, it's laughable. If it wasn't so sad that people actually buy this stuff, you know, I would be laughing more than ever, because how can they buy it? If you're more than 30, you know, they were saying exactly the opposite. And that's, of course, the problem. Right?
Well, it is. And they're full of just interesting dichotomies as well as contradictions. To your point, these used to be the same people that, let's not forget, were very religious. Remember, the term Jesus freak came from the 60s. These were all peace, love, and women can do anything, and we'll behave how we want and do what we want. But
sex, love, and sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah, and now they don't want that. And they're teaching their girls to, you know, if a guy looks at him in the classroom, it's like, well, he's harassing me, and you as the instructor need to do something about that. It's like, look, I'm not a babysitter.
Right. And not only that, but if you make an accusation, you have a right to be believed regardless of the facts in the case. Doesn't matter what the facts are. You shouldn't. We've got a case in Colorado, and you have one, ironically, in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to interview both of these guys next week, where one of them in Colorado tried desperately to defend himself with a 28-page explanation of what exactly happened, something the woman didn't do. And it was called a manifesto, and that it was called retaliation. It was called retaliation. So now we're living in a country where if you defend yourself from unfair accusations, you're retaliating? This is who the left really, really is. That's who they are.
Well, and it's a movement that I don't want to be part of. I mean, and kudos to you for starting the wave, because a lot of
the
women are like us, where we say, you know what, not everything is sexual harassment. Not everything has to be black and white. And if you're truly supportive of feminist causes, then the idea that we can do it ourselves should be first and foremost, not harassing and saying the government needs to pay for everything I want. Whatever happened to self-sufficiency?
It went out the window with, you know, respecting men. I've got to leave it here, but I want you to please give us a plug about how people can find you. You are wonderful, not only professionally, but you're a friend, and I'm proud to call you a friend. You're a knowledgeable, enthusiastic, funny, and very powerful woman. You ain't no victim. Tell everybody how they can get in contact with you and learn more about you.
You can reach me on my website, which is just martinacartwright.com. There you can learn more about what I do, my speaking engagements. You can look me up on LinkedIn. Again, it's Martina Cartwright, and I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona. And, Karen, I really appreciate you giving this opportunity. It's been wonderful as usual. And to another lady who's not a victim, this is going to be a wonderful movement.
I surely hope so. Thank you for being with us. Everyone, that's it for this week. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to the wonderful BBS Radio. And thank you to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish and a strong man. We love strong men. Tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.